All right, let me get this out of my way. No, we're going to use this later. We have a special speaker. Are you ready? She's not coming for a while, but Miss Heather Shager. We actually had, I put out on, you've all probably received it, an email. If you want to share your stories with me, Pastor Terry talked about sharing your story last week. And Heather's like me. She said, "Man, I can write this down, but I just do better speaking it out." And so, she's going to come up in just a while, and it's going to fit beautifully. But what Pastor Terry said last week, Chad came up to me right afterwards. He had this book in hand. We're using this book a little bit as a direction, an evangelism handbook. And he said, "Man, there's a section on testimonies that goes right along with what Terry talked about." Now, testimony, you've heard that in a worldly sense. You testify on what you've seen and what you know. Now, we're kind of freshening up a little bit by just saying, share your story. And so we want to push a little bit and help you understand what this means. And as I was studying, I'm going to open your eyes, or maybe I just open my eyes, to how many stories are going on in your life that have to do with Jesus. Sharing your story means you take what Jesus Christ has done in your life and you share it. And it all points toward Jesus. If the center of the story is you or someone else, and that story, that can be told, but that's not sharing your story of what Jesus has done in your life. And so Terry talked about the Samaritan woman. She's at the well. She's had five husbands. She's a bit of a mess in the world. And Jesus lets her know that, my death was, or excuse me, my life is for you. And I am the Messiah. And if you believe the truth, you have something to share. What does she do? Even in that state of life, she goes right to her friends in the village and begins to share this story. What does that do? That attracts people to desire more of it. See, Jesus is real. He's the real thing. And if he's in you and you begin to share him, no matter, you might think it's a dinky little story about what he did in your life, you begin to share him, amazing things happen because Jesus is an amazing God. He is a powerful God. He is full of the Holy Spirit. So sometimes we get so wrapped up in, "Oh, I can't speak out the truth," or "I don't know enough about the Bible." Man, that's just lies. If Jesus is in your heart, you have a story. So when I heard this, Terry's like, "Sharing your story," and I'm kind of going back and, "Okay, so your story is your salvation story." And so she wanted us to write it down. So I go home and I begin to write this. I was raised in church, the fort actually, by Christian parents. On a Sunday morning in big church, I was five, so big church is, we came in here, We had two guys playing accordions. They were our special guests. Saved by accordion players. It is possible, people. They asked if anyone wanted to accept Jesus into their hearts. And that's when I became a Christian at 5 years old. I was taught early on to read my Bible every night before I went to bed. As a family, we always prayed for every meal, and if the church doors were open, we were there. Though I had my struggles growing up, I've never questioned my faith or left it. When I was 22, I married my wife, Jess. We taught Sunday school for junior high for 10 years. When I was 28, we became youth leaders at the Fort, which made me bivocational because I had worked as a plant mechanic at AE Dairy since I was 21. Over the period of 7 years of in-state studies, I became a licensed minister for Open Bible Churches. I can't read my writing. That is bad. I've now been the lead pastor for over 15 years and working at AE for close to 30. God continues to use my influence at the dairy, which allows me to use those stories in my sermons in helping to disciple others. As I was writing this, I had more to write and I stopped. I thought, that's my conversion story. That's how I came to the Lord. And if you read in this book, he talks about, man, we have conversion stories, we have recovery stories, we have autobiography stories. I mean, there are all these different stories. And I'm reading what I wrote, and I thought, that doesn't even touch it. I mean, who at the age of 5 years old when you're saved can really tell a story? That was great, and that got me on a great path. But some of the stories are about the things that we've been brought out of. I mean, some of your stories, man, you've gone through difficult things, divorce, substance abuse, I mean, pornography, you think of all the different things that are all that pull us, financial issues and some infidelities that we've had to come out. Well, I was five. I didn't have many infidelities. I didn't have a drug problem. I didn't have all that stuff. But even in that story, it's pretty cool because of how many things when you can learn about Jesus at a young age, you can actually avoid. So stories are cool, but it reminded me of how many more stories are out there. And so this is broader than a conversion story. If you're serving Jesus, you might be creating a story every day. So all these different stories started popping into my head. And the thing about your story is it needs to point towards Jesus. He has to be the center of that story. Now, there's actually, I won't read it. Alvin Reed. Me and Alvin are very different. And that's okay. So as I'm going to speak to you about some of my stories and some of the way that I share my faith, if you're different than me, that's okay. There's no measuring tool. If Jesus is the center of your story, that's the important part of it. Sometimes I hear, oh man, I haven't done the things that you've done. I can say that about somebody else. This is no popularity contest. This has to do with people that you have been placed in front of in this world that need the truth of Jesus Christ. And Jesus wants them to hear about it. So he's going to do some amazing things in your life. And these stories, there's a part in here where Alvin has you set up your story and prepare it and polish it. And he even calls it like a presentation. And that's fine because you need to know why you serve God, why you love God, how that happened. But most of my stories happen when I don't even know they're going to happen. A certain person walked into the little coffee room where I take a break and sat down. And next thing you know, he's sharing life and I'm telling a story. It shows how I may have gotten through that part of life with the help of Jesus. So your storytelling could be practiced. It could be just put upon you. What has blessed me through studying this last week is running stories through my head. Reminds me how many times Jesus has been there and done some amazing things. Listen to just a few. Matter of fact, you've probably heard some of these because these stories have excited me to the point where I usually preach about them. Just a few stories. I was newly married, no kids. My wife and I went to a friend of ours' house in Minneapolis, which is close to Burlington, Iowa. I had borrowed my friend's truck because at the time my truck wouldn't make that long of a trip. I needed to take a bunch of railroad ties down to a friend of mine. So we're done with the trip. We're heading home, and I followed my wife's directions and mine. I kind of mixed them. We got lost. Now we're running low on gas. I'm mad. Blaming everything on her. I love God. I'm a born-again Christian, but I had one of my ugliest moments because I got so frustrated and I was so cruel to her verbally. And I was still mad, nice guy, but something in me, Satan was just having a field day. I'm going to shorten this story a bit. When I was just verbally abusing her driving down the road, the truck started to seize up. The motor started tightening up. It started slowing down. I'm shifting up in gears. I couldn't get power out of the truck. I even blamed that on her. Oh, great. You got us gallivanting all over the place, running out of gas. Now this is happening. Fantastic! I pull over into a gas station. I get out. I check the oil. The oil is perfectly fine. And the power, the conviction of God just jumped on in my brain with both feet and said, you need to ask for forgiveness. You need to sit in that truck and you need to apologize for the way you've been treating her. So what did I do? I went into the gas station and I bought a quart of oil. The truck didn't need oil. It was perfectly fine. But I was fighting being wrong. Long story short, as I finally got to that seat, I apologized to her. I said that I've been mistreating you and God just wants me to say I'm sorry. We started the truck. I drove a 3-hour drive home, gave it back to my friend. He drove it for the next several years and traded it in perfect running order. That's the power of God. So when I'm sitting with a friend and they're talking about going through something hard, I share that story. It doesn't paint me in a good light. That's okay, because it's not about me. It's about the power of God and how he got my attention. I told a story here at church a few years ago. A friend of mine's at work. He is beside himself. He's like, man, I'm moving. He's moving from a farm to another farm. Because I've tried to load these cows for 4 days. I have four of these cows. There's a ringleader, and they follow this ringleader. I can't force them. I've tried everything. I even almost put himself in physical harm. He goes, that farm's turned over tomorrow. I don't know what to do. And I felt embarrassed to say this, but I just felt the Holy Spirit say, tell him you're going to pray for his cows. Does that sound weird? I said, Leonard, I'm just going to pray for your cows. He kind of looks at me, hey, whatever, man. I just need those cows to get in that trailer. That was 11 o'clock at night. We had that conversation. He left. He worked the afternoon shift. I worked midnight, so I got off at 6:30. I'm driving home around 7, and I prayed. I said, God, you know, Leonard, he knows who you are, but I don't know if he's serving you. Would you just do something with those cows? Show him who you are. That next night I came in, he's on a machine. I go out and say, hey, what's the problem? He puts his wrenches down, stands up, looks at me and said, did you pray for my cows yesterday? I said, yeah. He goes, what time? About 7 o'clock. He said, man, I came out, got my cup of coffee, sat down in two different gates I had set up and just thought, here we go, another day of this. And in walks one cow. Right behind that walks the other one. And then all four cows walked in the gate right up to the trailer and waited for me to load them. I said, Leonard, that's a power of prayer. That's a story that tells about the power of God. That's what your stories do. So when God does something in your life, you need to tell him. God is powerful. He has a story to tell. And sometimes we hear that private thing, faith thing. Oh, I just need to keep. A lot of that privacy is we're just struggling to speak out. And we can use that as personalities. I'm quieter, or I don't have enough theology. What if they ask a question that I can't quite answer? That's okay. So you'll look for the answer. What happens when you're in break room? Someone asks a question about some history question or some famous person. We all grab our phones and we try to find the answer. We don't know everything. Same true with our faith. We don't know everything, but we'll find it. Share your story. Listen to this. In John chapter 9. There's a blind man, been blind since birth. Never seen. He was a beggar. Back in then, they didn't have a lot for the blind, and so you just went out and you just begged. And what does Jesus do? He comes up to him, spits in some dirt, puts it on his eyes, says, hey, go wash up. He comes back after washing, and he can see. Can you even imagine? You've been blind since birth. You don't know what people look like. You've walked the ground. You've probably maybe sensed a little bit of a sun and a little darkness through a little bit of vision you have, but you don't understand any of that. And all of a sudden, you can see, and all you know is this man touched my eyes, told me what to do. I did what he said, and now I can see. That's all this man knew. Man, these Pharisees and Sadducees that hated Jesus, they're calling the parents. They're trying to find out, is this made up? What's going on here? And they pull the guy in. They ask him all these questions. And he just tells them, hey, this is just what happened. They pull him in again. And this is what goes on. For the second time, they called in the man who had been blind and told them, God should get the glory for this because we know this man Jesus is a sinner. And this is what the blind man said. He said, I don't know whether he's a sinner or not, the man replied, but I know this. I was blind, and now I can see. He followed the instructions of Jesus. He was blessed for it, and now he had a story to tell. And even when he didn't even really understand, I don't exactly understand maybe all the theology behind this Jesus, but I know once he touched me and I did what he said, I was healed. That's a story. We don't have to understand everything. That is a story. That is the power of Jesus. That It's what can happen when we put our faith in him to speak out the very things that are happening in our life. Sometimes you think stories are simple. Matter of fact, there's a person in our congregation that even said that about her story. I'm going to read it. And it's powerful. Listen to this. Matthew 5:44-45. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be children of your Father in heaven. He causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good, and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. And this is a little bit of the story from our own Miss Linda Jansen. I grew up in a family of five children. Money was very tight. There was never money for extras. In fact, at an early age, we all worked either at mowing lawns, babysitting, or delivering papers. We had food and a roof on our heads. Life was good. We attended church only in the respect that our parents dropped us off for Sunday school and picked us up later. As I look back on those times, I wonder if my parents didn't use the church as a babysitting service. At any rate, I had exposure to church. I found myself always believing in God or knowing that there was God. I had faith in him. However, I was not saved. I had not repented for my sins nor asked him to come into my heart. In my senior year of high school, I was chosen to be Valentine's queen for the school dance. I was mature enough to know not to ask for a new dress for the dance, so I didn't. However, I did share this with God. A few days before the dance, my mother came to me and said, "How about if I make you a new dress?" My mother was an excellent seamstress, hence I am not, she says. You cannot imagine the surprise I felt. I just knew God had answered my prayer. What a faith builder. This small event was a starting point or a stepping stone in my relationship with Christ, as later that year I did give my heart to the Lord. I came to understand that God loved me even though I was not saved. He had heard and he had answered my prayer. The sun shines and the rain falls on all of us because he loves us. So can you imagine how many people will we come in contact with that are right there? Yeah, I know there's a God, but I haven't asked him into my heart. Linda can say, "Let me tell you a story. I was right where you're at. Let me tell you a story about what he did in my life." And then when you tell your story, listen to me. Be a good listener. You ever been in those stories where you tell a story and the next person just kind of ups your story? A friend of mine is quite the talker. Love him, but he is a talker. And if I ever start a story, he'll tell a better one. Well, years ago, I was on this weightlifting regiment and I'd reached my goal in what I had lifted. So I thought, I'm going to tell him the story. He's not a weightlifter. He won't be able to up me. I win! So I tell my story. And he looks at me and says, "My nephew," and then he goes on, "his nephew blew me out of the water." So he cheated to use someone else, but he still upped my story. This isn't about that. We want to tell people about the love of Jesus Christ and the hope and the joy he's given us. And then we want to listen and allow them to kind of tell their story. Because if they're living in the world, their story is going to have a different avenue. But now we have the opportunity to guide them towards Christ. So we need to be storytellers, but we also need to be listeners. Are you ready, Miss Heather? Yeah, come on up. There's a story, if you guys would get this mic ready, Dennis, that Heather wants to tell that is just absolutely beautiful. And it covers so many years that shows how God is truly with us. Never leaves us, never forsakes us. And we had little coaching on her phone call the other day, because what's also exciting is she could go on and because of that, this story, because of that, this story, because of that, this story. But we're focusing on one story today, but it's a beautiful story.
Yeah. I called Pastor because I was just really compelled to tell you guys. I was not prepared. I read his email very late. But I just really, really know the truth of what he speaks today. And I like Pastor said too, I have seen it so much through my life, but no more than with the existence of my daughter, Eleanor. So it kind of starts, I have to say, with me, because I had cervical cancer, and I struggled with that for a long time. And because of my cervical cancer, I am disfigured inside, kind of like a pinball machine. And so that made being pregnant incredibly difficult. My husband and I went through a bunch of fertility things, like people do who struggle with having a child. You go to all the right doctors and you do all the right things and you pay exorbitant amount of money to try to have the child that you are asking God for. And it didn't work. And the doctor very plainly said to us, we've exhausted our possibilities and the tests all say you're not going to have a child. And in fact, you're in premenopause, and even if you could, you have so little eggs left, Heather, that for them to travel through the labyrinth that's inside you is statistically very low. So you're just not going to have a child. So we walked away from that relatively okay and said, all right, I really firmly believed that if God wanted me to have a child, he would. And if he didn't, then he had other plans for us. And so we just moved on. And then it came to the recommendation that I have a hysterectomy. So we prepared for that. And I was 2 weeks from the operating table when Eleanor was conceived. And I knew that she was inside of me. I felt her presence inside of me. And I thought something was wrong. So I told the doctor, something is wrong. I'm not going to make it to the table. So he said, do a at-home pregnancy test. I did 5 because we did not believe the results that were positive. And the doctor didn't believe the results were positive. When I went to have the first test at the hospital, she didn't even show up. She didn't register on their ultrasounds and things. It was so I felt her so early on. She didn't even show on the pictures. But my numbers said that there was a pregnancy, and so they thought, oh, it's tubal. It's, you know, it's not a viable pregnancy. But we'll keep testing until we know for sure. And 2 weeks later, that perfect little white polka dot was on the ultrasound. The most beautiful polka dot I ever saw was on that ultrasound. And here she was. So I say to you, God, right? God granted that. That was a miracle. She was a miracle. Everybody said, she's no. And then here she is in 2 weeks, 2 weeks from the operating table. And I knew, I had God tell me, I had to do it this way so you would know that she is my child, that I gave her to you. Because I had some things going on in my life where I wasn't always so faithful. He had to tell me in his way that she was his, so that I would know and give her back to him and give myself back to him. So he corrected me. So here she is, and we're pregnant. How exciting. But I still have, you know, I got issues. So I couldn't carry her without help. So they said, you are going to miscarry if we don't have a surgery. Got to do a surgery. 13 weeks, I had a surgery to keep her. And there was no doctors in our state that would even do this surgery. I had to travel to Indiana to a doctor there who would do it. It was the only outside of state patient he had ever agreed to work with. I had to have people go to bat for me to even get them to accept me. It was a big deal. Again, God provided that person. I had that surgery, And she may, and I maintained that, sir, I maintained her pregnancy. Everybody said I would not make it. I maintained that pregnancy to 37 and a half weeks and gave her the best chance at life. And she has Down syndrome. She was born with a heart condition. She's got some things. If she had been too much premature, she probably would not have made it. But God blessed me and allowed me to keep her. When I had that surgery, I was suffering. You know, I had a lot of pain. I'm going to admit, it was very painful. And I was on bed rest. I was still working full time, but I was required. My boss let me put up a cot. Every 2 hours, I laid down for 20 minutes to keep her. And when I would lay down and I would be in pain, I prayed. I prayed, God, I know you gave her to me. I'm going to give her back to you. Please enter my womb. Surround this child with your love and your light, and don't let her know that I'm in pain. Do not let her feel this suffering, because I had it in my head, you know, that like your child can feel your heart racing. They know if your stomach's upset. You know, they know if you're worrying. Don't let her, shield her. Please, Jesus, shield her and do not let her know. And I will tell you that to this day, this child, 9 years old, has been hospitalized. She's had surgeries. She's had illnesses that have nearly taken her life a couple of times. She doesn't complain like we do. My shirt's too tight. It's itchy, whatever. Everybody complains. But when we're sick, I'm such a whiner. I turn into kind of a whiner sometimes. I got a headache. She doesn't. She weathers it. And I just still really feel like that again is that answered prayer. I asked him to do that. And he made her so that she can weather everything that's going to come to her. And it already has. And she is perfectly made. When she was born, I couldn't see her for 2 days because I had the big C-section thing, and so she had a heart condition, so they swooped her away, and so she was in intensive care, and I couldn't see her, and we didn't know she had Down syndrome, which is a blessing because she was beautifully protected that way from my anxiety and everything. I didn't know, but when she was born, we found out immediately, and you know that's hard. You go through the why her and why me thing. You just do, because we're human. So for 2 days before I could see her, I boohooed. My husband, though, did not. He immediately accepted her. And the reason why is because he was prepared by God. He has a brother who had a disability. He grew up with a brother with a disability. He doesn't look at disability. He has blinders to it. Because God provided him on a path to be perfectly made for her and her be perfectly made for us. And it was my husband that was able to say, this is not a problem, Heather. Move on. Come on. She's perfect. God made her perfect. The first year of her life, my father-in-law passed away. My mother-in-law was left sad and lonely. She sunk her teeth into our family. And here is a mother of a child with a disability who was able to teach and support me in that time and be there for Eleanor. Now that same mother-in-law, my mom, Yvonne, she has Alzheimer's. She has a memory problem. She repeats herself a lot. Here is a child who learns best on repeat. She learned her grandma's phone number before any other kid in her class knew a phone number, because grandma told her. Uh-huh. She is perfectly made for this family. And so time and time again, when she was born, I have aunts who lived in Jersey, who spent their entire life careers studying and educating others how to teach children with disability, with mental and cognitive disability. And they retired and moved back here the year she was conceived. That was not by accident. That was God's design. They started tutoring her at 1 year of age to give her an advantage that I couldn't give her because I didn't have that skill. And they put me in the right place at the right time. I grew up in this church. I hadn't come to this church for a long time, but because of my daughter, Eleanor, I reaffirmed my life and have come back to my home. I tried some other churches. Nothing felt as good as home. I came back to this home, and who is here? People who love and support one another. And people like Cheyenne, who, what does she do? She teaches children with disability, and she helped me help Eleanor to be able to come to the Lord's house. She is helping me raise my child to know Jesus. You all who are here today will help me. And I am sorry that we had this nasty thing called COVID and we haven't seen much of each other. That did scare me a bit with a child with low immune system and some other issues. But here we are, and sometimes I'm late. But I am here, and Eleanor is here, and I would encourage you to know her. And she's wonderful. And she is perfectly made. Wonderfully and fearfully, says Psalms 139. Thank you.
Thank you. Beautiful. Thanks so much. Well, my other stories aren't going to do anything compared to that, so we're just going to go to the end here. Would you guys take me to my very last slide? Skip those others. Thank you. Our stories point people to Jesus and serve as a reminder of all he has done for us. We have a story worth telling. So I want you to leave here today thinking and put this in your mind and let your mind just have fun with it. I took myself back as best as I could to childhood up to adulthood, and the stories, it built my faith in who God's been in my life. Stories that I thought I'd forgotten, and situations where, wow, God, you must have placed, I mean, listen to everything that had to happen for the situation with Heather and how she views it. God went before her and even after, and he's still preparing. That's the same God that we serve. So yes, you do have a story. We all, if we were saved, have a conversion story. But if you serve God, you have stories every day. Use them in conversation. Talk to people about your stories. Let them see and hear about Jesus through the things that he's done in your life. It's personal, and it works. You don't have to worry about knowing more because you know what you know. Stay in the Word of God. He'll teach us more. But tell your story. Amen? Lord God, I pray that this will burn deep. Every situation that you give us, even if we're embarrassed, I can think of how many stories I've told that were shameful things I did, but I tell them because I know that you redeemed me and through you I had freedom. And so that story may have had an ugly beginning and middle, but it had a beautiful ending. So may we be even transparent in our stories because it had a beautiful ending. Anointing, have your way in our hearts. Go before us, dear God. Around those friends, those family members, those co-workers, those people that they need the truth. They need to hear a story because they need their story to change. They need hope. They need joy. And we have stories that will tell them all about the life of Jesus Christ, which is full of grace, full of hope, full of joy. So may we tell our stories for their sake. Get over our own insecurities and just spread Jesus through those beautiful stories of redemption that we've lived out and that we know well. Thank you, dear God. May your word go from this place out into this world on this day in a rate that's never gone before through each and every person in here. May we be storytellers, and then may we sit back and may we be great listeners as people have some pain to pour out and they need to get through some stuff. Through everything we speak, may we stay out of our own way and just point them towards Jesus because of what he's done through our life. We pray all this in your name, Lord Jesus. And everyone says, amen.